Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire. Sam Ridges and Tom Carndoff, the editor, of course, of the 72.co.uk with you for the next hour. And, well, there's no bed tonight. There's no introductory bed.
There isn't,
because we're in mourning, Tom.
We are. We are in mourning of... well, it's going, you know, looking forward to tonight's show. It was going to be... It was going to be a good one, and then about 10 to 4, we learnt of some sad news, which, of course, if you're a regular listener, regularly tune in to the show, then you'll know we're big fans of Owen Coyle at Blackburn, but no more. It's come to an end.
He's gone.
So now we're kind of at a bit of a loss,
to be honest.
Don't know what to do. I was tempted just to say we should just call off the show.
Well, you did immediately.
Just call it off. Let's just put something else on, because I'm not sure how we're going to deal with this. But yeah, sad news. Sad news and a sad way to start the show.
Indeed, yeah. It's going to be an emotional listen. We'll be paying tribute to Owen Coyle throughout the show. Tom's got a couple of special things planned for us. It is going to be an upsetting show. Yes, Owen Coyle today sacked by Blackburn Rovers. Who saw it coming?
Exactly. Who saw that one coming?
Certainly not us, but he's gone. So, yeah, well, you shall reflect on that a little later on. But yes, we are in official mourning. The flag here at the FL72 is definitely at half-mast for, well, the departure, the demise of Mr. Owen Coyle. We'll crack on though, Tom, because life does go on and all
life
that.
Does,
it's show
we'll
business.
Try. We'll carry on.
So, yeah, we shall start, as we do as ever, with Yorkshire news.
Yes.
And, well, it's a big night in the Championship tonight for Huddersfield Town, but... they were also in action at the weekend, and an extremely creditable draw with Manchester City, and it rolls on now into the league, and their good form in League and Cup just continues.
Yeah, 0-0 draw with Manchester City, fantastic result for them, especially without Aaron Moy, who's such an influential player for them this season. A great result, of course, earning a replay at the Etihad against Manchester City. Great chance to test themselves. I know a lot was made of Manchester City and made changes. So has Huddersfield. I think Huddersfield made 7 or 8 changes before the game. So yeah, fantastic result. And again, they're still third in the league despite not playing this weekend. So it shows the kind of advantage they've got ahead of what is going to be a huge game tonight against Reading, who, of course, I think are probably their nearest rivals to challenge him for automatic promotion. So yeah, good weekend, good few days for Huddersfield.
Yeah, fantastic. And yeah, tonight, if they can get another 3 points on the board, the gap is going to be something, isn't it? And they really then are looking to close down the likes of Brighton and Newcastle.
Yeah, definitely. It's like you said, it's a huge game. It's not going to be an easy one, but you are full of confidence that Huddersfield can get something. Of course, if they do win, that's 4 points off Brighton in second. It's a fantastic position to be in, especially when you look at kind of the fixtures coming up for both sides, especially Newcastle. I know they've got Bristol City next, but you look at the run-in that Newcastle have after that Bristol City game. Okay, you'd expect them to win that. A relegation candidate at home should be an easy 3 points for them. But then after that, it's Brighton away, Huddersfield away, Reading away, and Fulham at home. So 4 teams there who, you know, do have promotion ambitions. That could be a big few weeks for them, and it could be a big few weeks for Huddersfield if they can capitalise. They could potentially take Newcastle's spot in the top two.
Yeah, a lot of the teams now in the top six starting to play each other over the next 4 weeks or so. Yeah. It's a real pivotal time of the season.
It is. It's kind of a bit of a trial run for the playoffs in a way. You're looking at Leeds Wednesday, Huddersfield, Reading, of course, tonight, and then Huddersfield, of course, playing Newcastle. I think it's obviously good at this time of the season. You want to kind of prove to yourself and prove to the rest of the league and the teams around you, especially, that you are promotion material. But going back to Huddersfield, I think I mentioned playoffs there. I was saying this to Andy earlier, that I can see them breaking into that top two, and I do believe that they will break in at the expense of Newcastle United. You look at those fixtures coming up, it's a big ask. Yes, like I said, if Brighton win tonight, they're 4 points off that top two. It could be a pivotal moment in the season, especially over the next few weeks. And, you know, if Huddersfield do get a win over Newcastle, you never know, that could be the game where they do kind of overtake them into that top two.
Where's this downer on Newcastle come from?
It's not lost in eight games. It's not a downer on Newcastle. It's more of a looking at it as in terms of the fixtures coming up ahead. They've got Brighton away, which is never an easy place for anyone to go. Huddersfield away, even, you know, probably the hardest place in the league to go. Huddersfield full of confidence. You mentioned Newcastle's good form. So Huddersfield, they're in great form at the moment. And then Reading and Fulham. It's not a downer on Newcastle. It's just a case of you're looking at the fixtures coming up. And, you know, if they don't start off well, if they do drop points against Brighton, against Huddersfield, you know, the confidence is kind of gone that they've built up a bit. So it's not a downer on Newcastle. I think it's just that, looking at it from that West Yorkshire aspect of Huddersfield, it's a fantastic opportunity for them to kind of capitalise and break into that top two.
In terms of the sides chasing down the top two, how important do you think the goal difference here is going to be? Because you look at Newcastle, plus 37 goal difference, Brighton, plus 28, Huddersfield only plus 7, Reading plus 6, Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday slightly better off with plus 11. But at the end of the season, when it is going to be quite tight, sometimes that goal difference, it kind of counts for... it does count for an extra point in a way.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it could. I think it's going to be obviously potentially come into play in terms of the automatics. I'm not sure. In terms of the playoffs, you're looking at the table at the moment. I think it's pretty much setting in who the four teams are going to be. Of course, they keep switching in and out of order. That there is literally 3 points between third and sixth. But then you've got that 7 point gap. Norwich, of course, slipping up at the weekend against Burton. They've been a bit hit and miss in terms of dropping points in the past few weeks. Whereas Fulham, 2 games in hand, 2 wins in the last two. If they can win those game in hand, then I think that puts them within, if we can do quick maths, 3 points of Sheffield Wednesday. So I think that will come into play. But if not, I'm not sure how important it will be in terms of playoffs. But certainly for the top two, and especially for Huddersfield, and Brighton, if they are to challenge Newcastle.
Indeed. So your thoughts tonight? It's a huge game for Huddersfield at the John Smith Stadium against Reading. Which way are you going here? There's a point separating them in the leagues, we just said. Not much in terms of goal difference either. What are you going for, Tom?
I'm going to stick with Huddersfield. Praise them quite a lot there, but they're a very, very good team. At the John Smith, if you look at the last three teams who have been there, have been Brighton and Leeds, which they've won in the league, and then of course Manchester City, which they held to a fantastic draw and earned themselves a replay. So yeah, I just think Huddersfield have got it, especially at home. They just seem a completely different side in terms of the quality that they can put on. So yeah, I'm gonna confidently, and I'll say this, that's probably jinxed it a bit, but I think Huddersfield should score the 3 points.
We went for a Tom Carnduff accumulator, didn't we, last week?
Yes.
You had odds of, I think you said if you put a pound on, you were going
to... I put a pound on, I would have won £80,000 if all the scores had come in that predicted.
How many did you get right?
None. Right, so I had a couple of results, but scores, nah.
Yeah, so there we go. Not great news for Huddersfield Town. Tom is predicting you to win tonight against Reading. Radio Yorkshire caught up, though, with David Wagner ahead of the game. Aman Joe Rawson has been speaking to the Town boss.
David, there must be a real buzz around the place at the minute, backing up your impressive league form with a good result in the Cup against the Giants of Manchester City.
Yes, of course it is. I think not only here at the Kennel side or in the dressing room, I think in the stadium, even in the town as well. And this is why it's so great for us to have the next game, Reading, another big, big game at home. So we have to make sure that immediately we have this energy and this atmosphere tomorrow night in the stadium as well. They really have to feel, maybe before they come into the stadium, that this is a tough place to go in, that there is only one team who really, really get the support, and this has to be our team. And this is so, so important, and I'm so confident because we have this game at home, a very important one, and everybody who is unsure if he has to come, now I like to say he has to come, because everybody is important to help us tomorrow. This is a very, very big game for us.
Do you think that this is a bigger game than the Manchester City match, just because it's against one of your direct rivals for the playoffs or promotion?
Let's say Manchester City was the biggest game in this competition so far, and tomorrow the game is in the competition of the championship, the biggest game for us so far, because it's a competitor. They are 1 point behind us, and we can make a gap between them and us, and we play this game at home again. So everybody has to feel this advantage that we play this game at home tomorrow, and this is what we need, and this is what we have to make sure. And I totally trust our supporters and our fans that they will be there, and they know how important this game is, and this is what they have to show, that they know how important this game is.
Do you feel that you owe Reading something? I mean, despite being down to 10 men in that game at the Majewski, a lot of fans coming back from the games felt that you should have picked something up. Do you feel that you owe them something because of that?
Of course, we were disappointed after the game, because I think we deserved more out of this game because of our performances. The referee decisions were very hard to take in this game, but we had to accept and we had to handle it. But as I said, it's in the past, new game, same opponent, but a different moment where we meet us, a different momentum where we have, and this is what we have to show. And the biggest thing is, again, it's at home, and this is advantage which we hopefully have, and which we hopefully can use.
Football chat and much more. The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, welcome back to the FL72. David Wagner there ahead of tonight's game against Reading for Huddersfield Town. A huge game at the top of the Championship. Third against fourth. A reminder that we are live on YouTube and Facebook as well tonight. Head to youtube.com/Radio Yorkshire. Also facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire as well, where you can watch the show. And in fact, Tom, we were going to have a Twitter poll as well, because we both come into the office today. Brand new spanking haircuts.
We have.
And yours.
That we have, yeah.
Yours looking awful as usual.
Wow. All right.
We should let the listeners
look.
Have you set up this Twitter poll? No, you didn't.
No, shall I do it now?
You've been thrown by the Owen Coyle news.
I have. I mean, you know, there's no. Look, we should be supportive of each other today. It's been difficult with the Owen news.
I apologise.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'll get it set up. If you're watching on the Facebook, we can kind of get away from the football chat into kind of haircut related talk. Lifestyle, that's the word I'm looking for. It's lifestyle.
Lifestyle section to the show. Darren Harper would be proud. we'll move on and talk Leeds while you're setting up that poll. But do get in touch. You can go and have a look on the studio cameras. Who's got the best haircut, me or Tom? We've both had it trimmed ahead of the show tonight. But Leeds held to a draw against Ipswich at the weekend. Results in the last kind of four or five games, not probably been what Leeds would have wanted, but you think that's a decent point away at Ipswich?
Definitely, yeah. I noticed a lot of comments from Leeds fans after the game, I suppose, was disappointment. I think kind of a bit of panic came into it as well, I suppose, that you've kind of got used to watching a Leeds team who do now win most weeks. But, you know, the bigger picture is they're still in a great position. They're still 7 points into the playoffs, and not many teams get wins away at Ipswich. I think they've only won. I think they've only lost three of the last 10 away. At home at Portman Road. So seven other results there of, you know, that they've not lost. And it shows that it is one of those kind of difficult places to go, especially for Leeds. Historically, it's not maybe been the best. So to get a point away, especially when Norwich, you know, do drop points against Burton, it's another point on those rivals. And I know it would be nice for Leeds to push the top two, but I think it's going to be a bit difficult at the moment. So playoffs, I think, definitely the aim.
Do you think there's a danger for Leeds? Do they could be the side, if anyone, to drop out?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I would say that having seen Leeds in quite a few times this season, that they do play good football. You know, that starting 11 that they've got together do play very well together. I have the confidence that Leeds would finish in the playoff places, but it'd be difficult for them to push top two at the moment. But, you know, still, before the season, if you said you're going to finish in playoffs, I'm sure plenty of Leeds fans would have taken that.
Darren Chadwick on Facebook just said, why get rid of Owen Coyle? He was doing a great job, but never mind, they're going down anyway. It always raises a smile, actually, whenever you see the Venkies come out on the... They're just pictures on Sky Sports News just walking around when Sam Allardyce was still the manager. It does make me laugh. But anyway, Owen Coyle, we are mourning his demise on the show. Of course, he was the subject of our second feature, which we'll get to for the final possible time ever. Hopefully, he might be back in Football League work at some point. Not sure there's too many Lancastrian teams with the letter B left for Owen Coyle to manage now. But
He's run out, isn't he? He's run out of kind of options to go to.
Yeah, there's like Berska.
I've heard of them team. Because they beat Telford United in a playoff. Blackpool, yes. Andy Lawson on Afternoons was saying this when I was chatting to him earlier. Blackpool, it would complete the set, wouldn't it? I'm sure I'd get a nice commemorative plate or something to go with it of his tour of Lancashire. But yeah, it's he is running out of places to go.
Let's hear from our other favourite manager on the FL72, and that is Mick McCarthy, who was speaking to Radio Yorkshire after his side drew with Leeds at the weekend.
Mick, you had some nice words to say about Leeds before the game. What do you make of their performance, and you know, how would you assess their chances of getting in the playoffs after that one?
I think they've come up against really the team who's been playing well and found it very hard to play. And they've probably a lot of passes in the second half. I think they're an excellent team. They've come off, their players are saying, you know, we don't want to play against you lot every week. But that's not being us every week either. But then again, we've got different players on the pitch and players who are fit. So I think Leeds are a good side. I think Gary Monk's been amazing from the start that he had. And to get them playing the way they play and have the results and get that club, because everybody knows I'm a Leeds fan, because the Leeds fan when they're beating has usually seen Mick McCarthy's a Leeds fan. They must have forgot today. or maybe we were playing well enough for them to forget. That was 100 years ago. I was just seeing one of my heroes, actually, Eddie Gray, outside. So, they're a good side. He's got good players in there. And I think they've just had a bit of a tough time, haven't they, from then going really well. But it happens. I remember getting promoted with Wolves and we didn't win a game for 13 games. It's just not easy. The league's not easy, but I think they'll be in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Mick McCarthy back in Leeds for the playoffs. Is that why you like him? Because he's a Leeds fan?
I like him because he's Mick McCarthy. It's hard not to like Mick McCarthy if you're just, you know, a football fan, but it's a bit of a bonus, isn't it? It's a bit of a bonus.
I suppose. Unless you're a journalist who is getting shouted at him.
Yeah, like then,
Our Liam. We'll hear from Liam Williams very shortly. He's got on his way over to the John Smith Stadium as we speak, so hopefully we'll catch up with him before 7, traffic depending, of course, to give us the all-important team news. If not, Tom can do it. But we'll be touching in with Liam at some point ahead of that game, and hopefully that's Premji as well. He's at the Sheffield Wednesday game this evening, so we have some football-y chat with Naz and Liam to come, but we'll crack on with our Yorkshire review, and we'll do a bit of Sheffield Wednesday now. We'll rattle through the rest of the Yorkshire team, because last week we badly overrun it. Was a Yorkshire
special last week. Yes, we did, yes.
So we can't let that happen again, Tom. Sheffield Wednesday, they're now 7 clear of Norwich, who are chasing them down in 7th after their win over Nottingham Forest. And the interesting thing about this one for me, a couple of great goals, but it looks like Forestieri is back enjoying his football again.
He is, of course. Been a few stories about Forestieri. Of course, you know, there's stories saying that he wanted to leave the club, but if you said that to someone who'd never seen Forestieri play before, play for Sheffield Wednesday, and you saw the way he celebrated that goal, you probably wouldn't believe those what they were saying. So, yeah, again, tonight, very winnable game for Sheffield Wednesday. They're in good form. They're especially good form at home against Brentford. So, at home at Hillsborough as Brentford come. So, Yeah, you'd expect them to win. Again, talking about form, Brentford away just haven't been the best. They've really struggled on the road in the last few weeks. So, yeah, good opportunity for Wednesday to push further into that playoffs. Of course, overtake Leeds, keep the pressure on the other teams around them.
They've won every game since the January transfer window slammed shut. Obviously, they did a lot of business. Jordan Rhodes, Sam Winnell coming in, just being two. And it shows it's working for them.
It does, yeah. They, especially Rhodes, he looks like a player who's kind of he's been there all season. You wouldn't have been able to tell really that it was a new team for him. He's settled in as well as I'm sure he would have hoped to, as Wednesday would have hoped to. So yeah, it was good. It was good for Wednesday, and of course Winnell as well. It was an absolute bargain in modern kind of transfer market value and price. So yeah, it was a good bit of business, and like you said, it's showing they're scoring goals, they're winning games, and you know, it's not rocket science to work out that if you're going to win your games, you're going to go up. So yeah, it's all positive for them.
Yeah, positive indeed. Hopefully we'll hear from Naz very shortly at the game against Brentford. But tonight, do you expect Sheffield Wednesday to make it 5 wins in a row in the Championship?
Yeah, I said, I talked them up a bit there. I'd imagine, and I'd expect them to carry it on. Of course, like I said, they're a very good team, especially at Hillsborough. You're looking at Brentford as well, struggled in the past few weeks away from home. So yeah, it should be 3 points for Sheffield Wednesday, and you know, hopefully for them, the Brentford shouldn't trouble them too much in the way of getting it.
Barnsley were beaten at the weekend by Brighton, who were then the leaders until Newcastle restored their advantage on Monday against Aston Villa with a 2-0 win. Barnsley, in terms of their playoff aspirations, they're only they're 8.7 now. My maths aren't as good as yours, obviously.
Can't think straight. It's been a struggle of a day, really.
How many points?
Nine
points off. What am I doing? It's because I've got all this stuff on my computer here. There are
nine points off.
Quick maths. is that over for them? Even though I'm still reckon Cardiff can have a go from mid-table.
I don't know. I think they can push. I don't know if they can break in. We're speaking about kind of how good those teams in the top four are at the moment. Fulham, mentioned them. If they can win those couple of games in hand, it really does make it interesting. They have got a case, but I don't know, 9 points, you're relying on three results going your way, and then, of course, three results kind of going against the teams, or two of the teams in the top six. I think it's just too much to do at this time of the season, but you know, I think they can push, yeah. But it might be a big ask to break in.
But as Mick McCarthy there, talking about getting promoted with Wolves, didn't win for 13 games... It could happen to one of those teams. Now, we've not really seen it all season. The top six have been pretty strong for quite a while now. But as we said, they're all starting to play each other. So defeats are naturally going to come for them.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I just think I know Norwich have slipped up. They've been a bit, you know, hit and miss in the past couple of weeks. But they're there, of course, compared to their earlier season form. It's really been a turnaround. Fulham with the games in hand.
And Derby
coming up. I just think there's too many teams around there. Completely not saying, you know, they won't get it, rolling them out, saying no, they can't do it. I just think it's too much of an ask at this time of the season, especially with how your teams are going.
Cardiff are 13 points off the playoffs and hammered Rotherham.
They did.
It's a surprise, because Rotherham have been playing better under Paul Warne. They're still losing every
week. They are, yeah.
But it's been a lot closer. A lot of the games have been tight. They've scored some goals as well in the process. But, yeah, totally outclassed by Cardiff.
They are. Again, Neil Warnock's, he's come in. They look a completely different team. They look, you know, I saw them at Leeds the other week. Didn't have the best first half, but second half, they came out and showed why they can win a game. They've scored plenty of goals the past few weeks, actually. You think they put 4 past Derby away. So it's not a massive surprise that they did put 5 past Rotherham, who, I don't know, I just don't know what we can say about Rotherham anymore, that it's now 15 points off safety. It's just that gap's getting bigger every week. That's 5 wins, you know, at least, to at least close the gap. I know there's, 13 games to go, but you just can't see Rotherham winning 5 games at least, and then results going their way to stay up. So it's difficult. Like I say, you don't want to be too negative about them, but you just what else can you really say apart from it does seem like it's over for them already?
Yeah, Sky sources are telling us Gary Rowett is not interested in the vacant job at Blackburn, who are the side above Rotherham in the league. If you were Rotherham, are you looking for a new manager for next season? Would Owen Coyle be on your shortlist potentially?
I don't know. It's difficult because Rotherham begins with an R, not a B. And of course, Rotherham's not in Lancashire, so it's going to be difficult. I'm not sure. I mean, as we all know, he's a favourite on this show, I think, Owen. But I don't know. I think it's a bit difficult to say that he could come in. I don't know if he's what Rotherham need at the moment. They're in a bit of a rebuilding process, whether someone kind of upcoming can take over and take them on. But nah, not for me. Not for me. I think, like I said, Blackpool could be a potential next destination for him. But nah, I just don't think he's the way forward for Rotherham.
Owen at the Seaside, that'd be...
Owen at the Seaside.
The next episode. Where are we now? I wish Bradford had win a game.
Yes.
Doing my head in.
Yes, I was at the game on Saturday. And it was there at half-time. Right, Bradford are finally going to win a game. They're going to get out of drawing more than Picasso, and they're going to actually win a game of football. And then it was that cliche tale of two halves. I just couldn't believe that from first half it was, you know, probably their best first half of football all season. They scored two, of course, Charlie Wyke, very, very good finishes, but they had chances as well. It's not like that was their only two chances. They had chances in the second half, but they just didn't look the same team. Bolton really didn't offer anything in that first half, and I think they kind of let them get back into the game. So, yeah, you could tell it was frustrating. It was frustrating for Bradford fans. You can see it when I speak to Stuart McCall after the game, that the frustration was there. And I say it's another draw. It's phenomenal for a team in the playoffs. If you think, you look at the situation like Saturday, how crucial could those extra 2 points be when you start accumulating them and adding them up? Yeah, it's weird. I think it's a word. It's a bit different for a team at the top end just to be drawing so much. And they've got to be careful because the gap's closing on them and outside the playoffs, and before they know it, they could drop out if they don't turn those draws to wins.
Yeah, I think Bradford are a team in danger of dropping out with the results. 16 draws so far this season. Sheffield United, on the other hand, they got a draw at the weekend, but it will be a welcome point, really, against second place. Scunthorpe just keeps that five-point gap between them.
Yeah, it does, and like I said, it's kind of, as long as they can match Scunthorpe's results, they're all right. I think it does appear at the moment like it is going to be those two that are going up. You're looking at the table at the moment. And like I said, it's a welcome point. They've managed to equal Scunthorpe's result. Of course, Scunthorpe did take that lead, but you know, they bounced back. I just think Sheffield United this season, they do look a very good side when I've seen them play. They're getting the results. Of course, they're top of the league. So, yeah, a good point. And hopefully for them, they can kick on in their next game, which, again, massive game against Bolton. So, should be good.
Huge. And Doncaster in League Two, they've not won for four games now, three draws and a defeat, yet they still sit 3 points clear at the top of League Two, and a draw at the weekend. But a decent one, really, in a similar kind of way against Luton. It just keeps Luton in fourth place, away from those sides in the automatic spots.
Yeah, hit a bit of a rough patch in recent weeks. Doncaster, I think, just with the gap they built in the first place and the results kind of going their way anyway, they're still 11 points off the playoffs. So they still should go up automatically. I think that, you know, the position they were in, the way they were going, it probably helped to have the League Two title, especially going forward into the future. It's that extra confidence boost to bring a divisional title into a promotion. So, yeah, I think the way they're in, if this carries on, it would be disappointing for them not to win the league, but you know, still, I suppose promotion is the main aim for them.
We shall be back in a few moments' time on the FL 72. We're going to look ahead to all of the night's action and join our man Naz Premji, who is in position at Hillsborough. We'll be back in a couple of moments' time on the FL 72.
Relaxing on a week's holiday. There's nothing better, is there? Anything to do? Just chilling by the seaside.
Just one more apple teeny, please. Thank you.
Nothing to worry about for a whole week. in the beautiful, beautiful setting of Whitley Bay. What? Yep. Having a staycation. Marvellous. Andy Lawson's taking care of the breakfast show. Enjoy Good Morning Yorkshire weekdays from 6:30 a.m. here on Radio Yorkshire. I'm just going to go and top up my tan.
Good morning, Yorkshire. Going at 88 miles per hour all the time. That's the power of love.
Change is coming.
Change your journey.
Change your routine.
Change your scene.
Change your crew.
Change your talent.
Change your fears.
Dreams.
Limits.
Theories.
Boundaries.
Memories.
Hopes.
Change your summer at ncsyes.co.uk.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back, Sam and Tom, with you through until 7. We're looking ahead to tonight's action across the Football League. Huddersfield Town in action against Reading at the John Smith Stadium. We'll cross to Liam Williams very shortly, but now time to head down to Hillsborough. Naz Premji is in position. Sheffield Wednesday against Brentford tonight. Evening, Naz.
Yes, good evening, good evening. This is the starter for Saturday's main course, isn't it? Elland Road.
Yeah, yes. Huge game on Saturday, but between the two, Leeds United, Sheffield Wednesday. Early
which
thoughts
of course
on
which of course Wednesday will win.
Oof.
Quite easily.
Confidence.
Yes.
Confidence.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, yeah. Do you know what? On the Yorkshire Football Show yesterday, I also predicted a Sheffield Wednesday win. I just think they've got too much at the moment, Naz.
Well, do you know, I'll just compare you the respective strike forces. At one end, you've got Chris Wood.
And Dakara.
Give me a break. and then here, you have, all right, let me count them. Gary Hooper, Stephen Fletcher, Fernando Forestieri, Sam Winnell, and the legend now already in his short time that is Jordan Rhodes. You know, the firepower.
Can't have all them on the pitch at the same time.
Well, we can. We can. And we no doubt will at one point. But I just think we'll have too many guns, that's all, for Leeds. But on a very serious note, gents, that particular game will be very interesting, dependent on tonight's result. Because if Wednesday were to beat Brentford, they would be 10 points clear of Norwich, who are chasing. They would also go above Leeds and go 3 points clear of them. So a lot rides on tonight, and whatever happens tonight will have a bearing on the weekend, if that makes sense. I do think it's going to be a great game, great atmosphere. And at the weekend, I think it's going to be key. If Wednesday score first, I think Leeds will have problems. If Leeds score first, then I think it could be a raucous atmosphere. I think what Wednesday have to do is go there and quieten down the home crowd. If they can do that, 15, 20 minutes, you know, and play some football, we could be on for a cracker.
Indeed. We were just saying a few moments ago that since the transfer window slammed shut, Sheffield Wednesday not lost a game. 8 goals in 4 games they've scored. And playing really well since the acquisition of Jordan Rhodes.
Do you know what, Sam? They're getting results. Playing well, they're getting results. I don't think they're playing that well, but the sign of a good team is actually, you know, a team that can play averagely and scrape through with the results that they have had. I mean, 2 world-class goals at the weekend, and I mean world-class. Abdi's volley was ridiculous, and I mean, Forestieri had about 5 touches in the Forest area before he turned and shot. So, you know, scoring some good goals. I wouldn't go so far as playing well, but they are getting the results. And at this time, as Tom will tell you, and anybody will tell you, in the Championship, if you're in that promotion race, you just have to get the job done. It might be ugly, but, you know, there were times last season, the game here against Blackburn that they won. Last season, they would have lost that game. Similarly, the game at Forest, they would have probably lost that game. And they did lose those games last season. I think Wednesday went to Charlton and lost, and MK Dons and lost, and Bristol City and lost. And I just think there's a steeliness about Carlos's side this time round, and it's just, you know, we'll win, and if we have to win ugly, we'll win ugly. So, yeah, it could be interesting. I'm hearing some very interesting team news as well, which I can't divulge yet, but expect one change for the Owls this evening from the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm. I know, I think what Naz, you were saying there, I think that first goal on Saturday is going to be crucial. I think just with the Leeds crowd.
Yeah, if Wednesday get it, that will quieten the Leeds crowd down. But if Leeds get it, it could be, you know, Leeds could go on and potentially get two or three, because everything will be with them, and Wednesday will have to deal with that very raucous and very, very hugely intimidating atmosphere.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'm just looking at Sheffield Wednesday. I think from a Leeds aspect, especially after the weekend, I know I said this earlier, the bigger picture, they're still 7 points in the playoffs. They're doing well, but some question marks were raised from Leeds fans about kind of that promotion potential. I think, do you think that, you know, a victory over a Sheffield Wednesday will kind of send a message that, you know what, we are promotion candidates, are here to be, seriously.
It would send that message. It would send that message, because I think Leeds' record, they've lost against Newcastle, which I saw. Obviously, they lost against Huddersfield. You'll have to help me out with the others. Reading they beat, but Reading are rubbish. Reading. I can't be having Reading.
They lost to Brighton away, but of course away is a different
away
story.
Away is a different story. And you beat us here early on in the season at Middlesbrough, which was a good result. But again, I would suggest that we were still maybe having a little bit of a previous season hangover, and that's now done. So it's going to be a very key game. If you offered it me, Tom, I would take a point now at the weekend. And I think maybe even Gary Monk may as well.
Yeah, of course, you know. I think it's all, I don't know, I think for Leeds and Wednesday, that top two, it might be a bit out of touch at the moment. I think, you know, if anyone is, for me, it's going to be Huddersfield if they do break in. Mm. But, I think it's all coming down to looking at Norwich, looking to those games in hand Fulham have as well. So, of course, I think a point would be fair if it can push him further into the playoffs.
Absolutely. And then it's just a case of ticking the games off one by one. And then in the playoffs, it is a lottery. You know, it's two-legged semi-final. Yeah. Anything could happen. You saw what happened to Brighton last season, where they were maybe 25 points ahead of Wednesday, but they lost the semi-final. And you know, I think, if anything, the playoff experience Wednesday had last season will stand them in good stead.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what about tonight then, Naz? You're confident? 5 wins in a row for Wednesday?
It would be the first time since April 2007 if we do it. That's a decade. It's a long time since we've done it, Sam. But I am, actually. I am. With the way they're operating at the moment, they're grinding out those results. And as long as they carry on doing that, again, you know, I was here for the Birmingham game, and they really went at Birmingham first 20 minutes. I think that's exactly what they'll do against Brentford tonight. Go at them, try and get that early goal. That gets the crowd on side, and then you can kind of play on the counter and let Brentford come at you and see what they've got, and then potentially nick a second. I think I'm going to put my neck out here and go 2-0. 2-0.
Interesting. So obviously Huddersfield in action as well tonight over at the John Smiths against Reading. Should Reading beat them and Sheffield Wednesday do get the win tonight over Brentford, you're the level on points with Huddersfield. I know they've got a game in hand, but it kind of shows what Sheffield Wednesday have done. They've kind of gone under the radar a little bit. Even people have been saying that it's not
people,
what you
do
expect.
Know what? Yes, exactly. And if that was to happen, it would be fantastic. It'd be great. The thing for me, Sam, and I'll leave you with this thought. Huddersfield, the last thing they wanted was an FA Cup replay. I think that really, really doesn't help the Huddersfield promotion push. It's an extra game. They're going to play that next Wednesday, I think it is, and then they've got to play Newcastle at the weekend following that. I just think they might just come a little bit unstuck there, Huddersfield, and you know, as I said to you earlier, Sam, it's all about ticking the games off. You, if you could continue winning, you know, you can look above, but more importantly, as long as the teams below are not going to get into those top six positions, you're absolutely fine. I think it's going to take a real blip for Newcastle or Brighton to slip up, but stranger things have happened.
Indeed. Naz, thank you very much. Final thought, actually, quickly on Owen Coyle. Your thoughts on that?
Tactically inept.
So not a miss for you. Naz, thanks very much. Enjoy the game tonight at Hillsborough. There he is. Naz Premji, Sheffield Wednesday in action tonight against Brentford. We'll hear from Liam Williams very shortly, who is at the John Smith Stadium for Huddersfield Town against Reading. Right, Tom, it's time. It's time. I know you don't want to do this, but Owen Coyle is no more. The 30-second Coyle feature, your second ever feature in
my
your
second
radio
ever
career,
feature,
is,
yes.
is gone.
It's gone. So I thought, you know, it would be fitting to make a kind of extended 30-second Coyle countdown today. Yeah, it's very sad, but very nice of him to speak quite slowly on his final game in charge. So yeah, it's been an emotional afternoon setting and sorting that one out. It's been difficult.
Indeed it has. Here it is. We call it a 30-second Coyle if we're saying it's extended.
The FL72's goodbye to
it's
Owen
the
Coyle.
Final Coyle countdown.
Because yeah, Blackburn confirming Owen Coyle has left the club. They are talking in a statement, not a direct quote this, but along the lines of, "We feel a change is necessary to help us climb out of the Championship relegation zone."
A spirited performance, and that's the spirit that we need to drive us forward. We felt really hurt and disappointed by the way we were treated at Sheffield Wednesday the other night, and we had to use that to really drive ourselves forward, and I've now stressed to the lads after the game, we now use that to move into our 15 Cup final starting at Burton on Friday. We bring that level of performance and energy, then of course we'll win the points or move us out of trouble into safety, and that's what we have to do. I've also got to say a big, you know, huge thank you to the fans today. I thought they were outstanding. From the first whistle to the last, the atmosphere they generated at Ewood today, and the players respond to that. You know, they backed them endlessly, and for that, you know, thank you very much, because it makes an unbelievable difference to the players when they get that backing. And, you know, we obviously go to Burton looking to win those 3 points, and then we come into a run of home games, and hopefully we can get that sort of atmosphere again, because when we do, it really does make a big difference to the players.
It's difficult listening. It's difficult. We should have put a listener warning in. It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's been difficult, but...
Emotional.
You know, never say never. He might be back.
Indeed. I'm tipping him for Rotherham next season. In fact, Owen Coyle's actually tweeted us tonight. I'm Owen Coyle on Twitter. I believe it's a parody account. He's offering his services to us, Tom. He's saying
great.
I'm available for punditry work. This is dependent on my Aldi warehouse job falling through.
Fantastic.
We've had some comments.
I'd like Owen Coyle to be a pundit. Get it organised. Well, get Owen in.
We'll give him a ring. Darren Chadwick has been paying tribute as well. Owen Coyle couldn't manage Barraford Celtic under-12s, a junior team in East Lancashire. John Palmer, he was doing a fine job for Blackburn. Shame he couldn't finish the job. John Davis says a sad end to the feature.
It is an end, but... You know, look on the bright side. He could be back in management, and so could a 30-second Coyle countdown. So never say never. It's just a dark day for football, isn't it, really? It's just a dark day.
It's a sad day. So Owen Coyle is no longer the manager of Blackburn Rovers. Tom, you've been speaking to Jack Kitson
from
the sackrace.com.
Yes, started off by... obviously, we had a chat about Owen and the Blackburn situation. Started off by, I spoke to him earlier, asking just what he thinks of the whole decision to let Owen go.
Yeah, I don't think it comes as a huge surprise. There were rumours last week that he was going to be sacked even before the Manchester United game. But he held on to his job, and I thought that was one of Blackburn's best performances of the season. They're quite unlucky not to go through to the next round. But now, 48 hours later... and he's been suddenly been sacked. It's been quite quiet in the Championship for about a month to 6 weeks. But now, could this kickstart a few more? We've got Zola, Bruce, Lee Johnson. There's a load of managers under pressure at the moment. But yeah, it's not the most surprising sacking this season, definitely.
And then I think the thing that surprised me the most, I don't know if it surprised you, is just how long he's been able to kind of keep the job. Because you spoke there about few managers under pressure, especially in, you know, nowadays where managers are sacked pretty much all the time. Are you surprised that he did manage to keep that Blackburn job for so long, considering how bad they have been doing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when he was appointed, it was hugely controversial, wasn't it? Because of his association with Burnley. Of course, he's managed Wigan, Bolton, and he got off to a rubbish start, didn't he? I think he was winless in his first seven games. And then it's been a bit hit or miss since then. They've been sort of rooted to in the relegation zone just above for ever since the start of the season. So yeah, it's a sort of a surprise he lasted that long. But now, like, I just saw a tweet a minute ago, there's only two managers in the bottom nine of the Championship who are still in a job from the start of the season. That's Nigel Clough, who of course was linked with Forest, and Lee Johnson, who's been really under pressure the last 2 weeks. But that just sums up the Championship merry-go-round for you.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned actually Lee Johnson there. Do you think maybe this sacking of Coyle might, you know, if there are the doubts, especially looking at Johnson at Bristol City, it might make a Bristol City look to make a move and think, well, they're changing their manager, whether we look to react and change ours in the hope of bettering our results?
Yeah, you so often see that. It's so, like, serene for a few weeks, and then one sacking can trigger it off. As we said a minute ago, there's quite a few Championship managers who are on the brink of leaving. Lee Johnson's one of them. He was in really stormy waters a few weeks ago, but the club seemed to stick by him. But I'm not sure who Bristol have got next. But yeah, yet another defeat, and he could easily be gone, yeah.
And then back to Blackburn. You're looking at the market. I know it's very early days, and it kind of reflects that in some of the odds you're getting. Gary Rowett in as favourite. Can you see him going to Blackburn, especially as he kind of turned down Forest, who are in a similar situation in some ways as Blackburn?
Yeah, like already in the last 20 minutes, there's been about five different favourites. There's Tim Sherwood a minute ago at 2-1, but he's since gone to 8-1. You've had Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank in there, Kenny Jackett, Mark Warburton's just emerged as the name in the frame. But yeah, Gary Rowett, I think at the moment, well, he's probably changing a minute, but he's a 3-1 favourite Sky Bet. And honestly, I can't see him going. He's been out of work for a couple of months now, and he's been linked with a fair few jobs, and he's not yet shown much interest in those. And I don't know if he'd fancy, considering Birmingham were up fighting for the playoffs, I don't know if he'd fancy coming into a club who are struggling to stay in the league, especially with, of course, Blackburn's owners. I don't know many managers who want to work under that. So I don't know if, I can't see that happening, to be honest. They need an impact man, really, don't they? Someone who can come in and will steady the ship and then get some results. But yeah, for the names that are in there, it's a you look at. There's just read about David Dunn, maybe offered the. I think it was on a forum, maybe coming until the end of the season. Tim Sherwood, I mean, he's at Swindon. He's had a bit of a shocker there. I think he's only got I know he's not the manager, but he's only got a win percentage of about 15% or something. Would he, of course, title winning with Blackburn in the 90s. But yeah, it's very, very open at this stage.
And yeah, just kind of, we've been speaking on tonight's show actually about Birmingham City, about Zola. Is that kind of the prime example in a way this season that, you know, you can change your manager? It was a shock dismissal of Rowett in the first place, but does that go to show that, you know, these managerial changes don't always pay off?
Yeah, exactly. Just look at Alex Neil at Norwich City. They started the season really well in the playoffs, challenging for the top two even, and then they had that poor run of form, didn't they? And he was like on the brink, apparently. He lost the dressing room and everything, and then they stuck by him, and look at them now. They've pulled off some great results of late, and they're right back challenging for promotion back to the Premier League. So it goes to show that not second manager isn't always the right answer, but yeah, they went in a relegation dogfight like Blackburn, and I think a change was needed, yes.
Well, Jack from thesackrace.com, thank you very much for joining us on the FL72.
Thanks very much, guys. Catch you next time.
From Barnsley to Bradford, the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. Jack Kitson from thesackrace.com speaking to Tom a little bit earlier on. Plenty of interesting names there. Potential for Blackburn. Do you think the Venkies might go for one of those ex-players who were involved in the title-winning team who are now kind of doing various things in coaching and management?
It's difficult to say who the Venkies go for as who would go to work for the Venkies, I think, is the situation, and who would go to work for Blackburn Rovers at the moment. The team's not in a good position. You know, we hear the stories about kind of the overall atmosphere at the club as well. Gary Rowett, of course, is mentioned, but again, if he turned down Forest, who were in similar, if you know, a bit better off situations, why would he go to Blackburn? So, yeah, it's difficult. They may be forced to look towards an ex-player who's kind of got the managerial coaching side of it, because, you know, who's going to be about? Who's going to be about to take over?
Sorry state of affairs at Blackburn. Elsewhere, you mentioned a couple of potential sackings there. Birmingham back in Gianfranco Zola this week. Turns out that it's not always a great decision to sack a manager that's doing a good job.
But bizarre, still, to this day, I wouldn't understand it. A bizarre decision.
Indeed. Do you think he will be there at the end of the season, Zola?
I don't know, because obviously new owners at Birmingham, you don't know what they're like, but I suppose the way football goes, I'd be quite surprised in a way, just with how they're in freefall down the table at the moment. We put a poll on the FBL72, at FBL72 on Twitter, basically asking, should he leave the club? 50% replied saying yes, he should be sacked, 29% yes, he should resign, and 21% said no. So I don't know whether those 21% were Aston Villa fans, I'm not too sure, but yeah, it was a bizarre decision to get rid of Rowett in the first place, and, you know, said it there. It shows that a managerial change doesn't always work.
We shall check in next at the John Smith Stadium. Liam Williams there for the game, Huddersfield Town against Reading tonight. A huge match in the Championship. We'll be back on the FL72 in a few moments' time.
I know how to avoid a soggy bottom. I know the name of cinema's most famous white shark. I know all the things you can do with a Maris Piper. And I definitely know the TV show that made this music famous. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search Your State Pension and get to know yours.
You'll love how easy it is to buy a beautiful new carpet from Hillary's.
I bought our new carpet without leaving the house.
How?
Hillary's. Gave them a call and one of the carpet experts came to me. It was great to get advice from someone who really knew what they were talking about. And he brought loads of samples, so it was easy to find exactly what was right for me.
Oh, think they could find me something in tall, dark and handsome. For your free home appointment, visit hillaryscarpets.co.uk. Hillary's. You'll love what we do.
The FL72. On Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back. Not long left now on the FL72. Some huge games across the Football League tonight. One of them, and the biggest, is at the John Smith Stadium. Huddersfield taking on Reading. Our man Liam Williams is there. Good evening, Liam.
Good evening, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. A huge game for Huddersfield tonight, and a huge game in the course of this race for the Premier League.
It is, yeah, and it's a massive opportunity, I'd say, for Huddersfield to really cement their playoff credentials, really. I think I would argue that they're against the weaker of the top six sides. I think Reading have sort of just been there or thereabouts all season, but they've just not really set the league alight for me, like the likes of Huddersfield have in spells Leeds, in spells Sheffield Wednesday, even Derby occasionally. Should be an interesting one tonight. Both very possession-based sides. We're expecting a more familiar lineup from Huddersfield tonight than we saw against Manchester City at the weekend. Aaron Moy should be back in the side after he was cup tied on Saturday. There's only really one first team regular in that side, which drew with Man City in Rajiv van der Parra. I'm sure he'll be back as well. Jonathan Hogg, I believe, still has, as I say, that team sheets have just been handed out, so I can go through to them in a second. Huddersfield, as we've as you've probably mentioned throughout the show, can go 4 points clear of Reading tonight. So again, a chance to put down a real marker. I'll go through the teams really quickly with you. For Huddersfield, very familiar looking lineup. Ward in goal, Smith, Billing comes in for Hogg, Kachunga, Moy, Lerva, Van der Parra, Wells, Schindler, Brown and Hayfuller. Their subs are Coddington, Whitehead, Hudson, Craney, Payne, Lolly and Kwana. Kwana starting against Manchester City on Saturday. And for Reading, Alhapsi in goal, Gunter, Behrens, Abita, McCleary, Moore, Williams, Blackett, Kelly, Graben and Much. And their subs are Yacola, McShane, Evans, Swift, Kermigant, Mate and Pauper.
Well then, they give us your score prediction tonight. Which way is it going to go?
I have a horrible feeling this will be a draw. I think two very possession based sides. I have a feeling it'll be 1-0, 1-1 rather. I'd love to see Huddersfield get a win here, because when I've seen Reading before, I've not been impressed in the slightest with the style of football that they play, and I would like to see Huddersfield get a win. But I think they'll cancel each other out and go in 1-1 down the middle.
Let's hope you're wrong. Hope for a Huddersfield win. Liam, thank you very much. We'll catch up with you in about half an hour's time ahead of kickoff.
Cheers, up.
There we go, Liam at Huddersfield. Tom, you've also got some team news for us. Sheffield Wednesday at home to Brentford.
Sheffield
tonight.
Wednesday side to face Brentford. So you got Westwood in goal, then Palmer, Sasu, Leuvens, Reach, Wallace, Hutchinson, Abdi, Bannon, Forestieri and Rhodes. Forestieri and Rhodes making up the top two, as well, Naz reminded us earlier, just the amount of players they do have in that area of the pitch.
Indeed. Right, this is the biggest challenge yet for good days, bad days. Tom has to reel in the time. Tactical cough there.
Clear the throat. I've got a speed through.
Yeah, indeed. Not long left of the show, so it's going to have to be an Owen Coyle speed. Good days, bad days. In
fitting tribute
to Coyle. Away you go. The good days, bad days from this week. And you've got a bumper edition
as
well.
It's bumper edition. Start off in the Championship. Good day for Burton Albion. Victory over playoff chasing Norwich City pushes them 4 points clear of the relegation zone. It is a bad day for, well, we've mentioned them already, Rotherham United. An embarrassing 5-0 defeat against Neil Warnock's Cardiff City now puts them 15 points off safety. League One. Good day for Walsall. Late 2-0 victory, two very late goals over Peterborough United, makes it four home wins on the bounce for the West Midlands side. And a bad day for Bradford City. They let slip a 2-0 lead in a controlling position at half-time to drop 2-2 with promotion rivals Bolton Wanderers. League 2, good day for Cambridge United. They came back from 2-0 down on the hour mark to beat a struggling Newport County 3-2. And then a bad day for Mansfield Town. Steve Evans was sent to the stands and Mansfield suffered a 3-0 defeat away to Grimsby. And then, of course, Cup weekend, it was a good day for Millwall. They're through to the quarterfinals of the Cup after victory over current Premier League holders Leicester City. Bad day for, well, Sam, Burnley.
Oh,
they
no.
lost. They're out after a home loss against non-league Lincoln, who will face Arsenal in the next round. Good days, bad days for this week.
Excellent, Tom. That is superb. Perfectly timed. Thanks for listening to the FL 72. Coming next on Radio Yorkshire, it's Proper Boxing, where we kick Tom out. We get in Paul Silky Jones. Eddie Hearn is on tonight's show ahead of a huge shut week ahead for Gavin McDonald in world title action over in Hull. That's all for this week. Proper Boxing is next. Stay tuned.